Well, I've been looking forward to this one for a really long time. We've done so many spotlight conversations over the last couple of years, probably more than 100 already. And I love that we do this on Worship Wednesday. We get vertical. We put the spotlight on Jesus, and we encourage all of you and all of us to take a look at who this God is and how he's ministering in and through the lives of his people so that we can be reminded that he's faithful and that he can be trusted in every circumstance. And so today we want to once again put the spotlight on Jesus, but to help us tell that story is my very own niece, Emma Quisenberry. Emma Lee Joy Saunders was the name she was born with, and today known as Emma Lee Quisenberry. So anyway, Emma, welcome to NBL. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be with you today.
Yeah, I mentioned before we get on here that you're calling today. We're talking from, you're in Kampala, Uganda. Wow, I love that. It's amazing. Yeah, so what's the time difference, by the way? Like if it's, let's just say it was 12 noon here, what would it be in Kampala? Do you know? We're talking Eastern time?
Right now, I think it would be around 9. It would be around 9 p.m. for us. I think we're around 8 hours ahead of you.
8 hours,
if that's
okay.
Okay,
so what I'm saying is if it was 12 noon here, it would be 8 p.m. there. So you're...
Oh, yes.
So it always gets to the next day before it gets to the next day here.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, wow.
We always say we're in the future.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so God has been doing some amazing things. I mentioned earlier that the GEM Foundation is... a place where you care for orphans, nearly 50, I think, with special needs in Kampala, Uganda. And how this whole thing came to be is just amazing. So I want our listeners to have an opportunity to hear that story. But let's first go back for a minute, because my sister had 3 biological kids and has adopted 11, if I'm counting correctly. 14 children. You're from a family of 14, but you're one of the biologicals. And I know that my sister... for years, you know, had a passion for caring for hurting people. She's loved orphans. And by the way, she had a little baby doll as a child, and it was a black baby doll. And a lot of people used to ask her about that. I don't think it was even on purpose that she got that. She just loved it. When she saw that baby doll, that's what she wanted. And and I don't know. It's an amazing story. But let's go back for a bit, because you were born into a family that, you know, that had a love for all kinds of people and parents that were willing to adopt and stuff. So I don't know where this spark to be a part of, you know, an organization like this came from, but I'm going to let you tell some of that story. So take us back to little Emma in the Saunders family praying about going to Africa one day. How did this come about?
Well, it's a long story, but we'll go back with you. It first began when I was a little girl. When I was around 6, my parents had really shown me a heart for the nations through adoption and through even doing foster care. And through that, it definitely impacted my heart and my life. And I really felt that God was calling me to be a missionary when I grew up and to serve in Africa. And I remember being around 6 when I began praying that God would allow me to come to Africa and to care for the orphan. And I would pray every single night at my nighttime prayers with my family, and I'd just be praying, like, God, would you allow me to go to Africa and care for the least of these? And I'm not sure where Africa came. I don't remember seeing it on a map. I don't remember. I was just such a little girl. But throughout the years, it began to change, and I really felt that God was calling me to Uganda specifically. Uganda is located in East Africa, mm-hmm. And I had never met anyone from Uganda. I just think that God put it on my heart, and I began praying, and God was so faithful. And when I was around 13, God provided an incredible opportunity for me to come to Uganda, and I loved it.
All right, so wait a minute, because this is an amazing story, all right? I mean, I remember when I was thinking about where to go to college, and I remember visiting a few campuses, and when I finally got to the one I ended up choosing, there was something about it. I just felt like this is where I want to be. This is where I want to go. Mm-hmm. So what was it like? You're 13 years old. You end up in Uganda, in East Africa, and your feet land on the ground. You're standing there looking around. Did you know at that point that was, in other words, was God confirming what you'd felt in your heart for all those years?
Yeah, I remember getting off the plane. And those days, you would get off the plane by walking down a staircase onto the airfield. And I remember looking back at my dad, and I just could like smell the air. I could smell the lake around, and I just said like, "Dad, I'm home." And I know his face was probably happy, but really sad. But
Because I'm
it was just a fulfillment of God speaking to me and knowing that this is where he wanted me.
Yeah, I you know it's a, as any parent would know, like you want your kids near you if you can, if that's even possible. You would love to have family together, and yet when God's speaking to the heart of a child, saying, you know, just filling your heart with the desire to go serve him, you want to champion that, you want to encourage it. And I gotta believe that in some ways they were torn but thrilled at the same time. And then, you know, just so you know, your mom and I grew up in a situation where we went to church and people would say, "Oh God, I'll do anything. When I grow up, I'm going to do anything to serve you. Just don't send me to Africa." And none of us had been to Africa either. None of us knew what we were talking about. But a lot of us, there was something about, "Lord, I'll commit to you, but I'm not going to commit that much." And you had the opposite, you know, intention. And of course, maybe as a child, not even fully being aware of what you were saying, but God truly planted a seed in your heart because that desire never went away. So you got to see it at the age of 13, but it wasn't a whole lot later that you actually ended up moving there. Describe the process of getting ready to eventually one day go to Uganda and start the GEM Foundation.
I should go back a little bit before, because before actually coming to Uganda at 13, I had been praying that God would make a way for me to come, and I had looked up all sorts of trips online. I'd sent, like, back then they would send you brochures in the mail, and I tried applying for them, and my dad would be like, "No, like, I'm not sending my little girl to Africa alone. Like, it's not now." And so I just said, like, if I remember the scripture verse in Isaiah 6:8 when it says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And it says, "Here I am, send me." And I said, "But Dad, if we don't go, who is going to go? Like, God has called us to go, and we need to go." My dad is a pastor growing up, and I would often leave notes around of pictures of orphans in Africa and Uganda, and just say, like, "Come on, this is us. Like, it's our time to go. We need to go and care for them." And so I remember him opening up the fridge, and he'd have a picture on the milk jar, and like he'd get in his car, and there'd be another picture and a scripture verse. I was definitely using that pastor idea mentality. And
that's kind of devious, but go ahead, I'm following you.
It was definitely manipulative. I'm not saying it wasn't, but the way God brought the opportunity was amazing, because my dad was asked to lead a pastor's conference here in Uganda, and it was exactly the timing, and everything worked out, and it was very clear to know that that was what God was calling us to do, to come here. Back in, yeah, it was in 2000 and which year? 2008, I guess.
Really?
That we first came to Uganda.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you officially made the move to Uganda?
I first moved to Uganda when I turned 19.
Okay, wait,
January,
you were not married?
I was not married, no.
Okay, so
I was single.
Do you know how scary that sounds to most people who are listening right now?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, were you scared, or were you, because sometimes, like, children will just go run and jump into a swimming pool just because it looks like so much fun. Were you just so excited that you weren't really thinking about living in Africa as a single 19-year-old? Because that's a big move.
It was definitely a big move, and I honestly didn't feel scared, because I really felt like this is, like, what God wanted for me. And if this is where he was calling me, it's not scarier to be in the center of God's will than if I was not following Christ and I had decided to do something else. I did not want to be a Jonah. And so I really knew that I needed to move here. But I definitely had a lot of people question me or ask me, like, "Are you sure?" Or like, "Yeah, huh? You're moving to Africa." Like, basically, like, "I'll see you next month." And, definitely had some negative feedback. A lot of, especially with being single, moving to Uganda, a lot of people would be like, "You mean you never want to get married? You mean you want to be single forever?" And I'm like, I'm only 19, and this is where God is calling me. So we'll see what God has for me.
Yeah, and God had something for you. So there's a story to be told there. We're going to find out what that is in a moment. But take 1 second here before our break and just give the brief overview of what the GEM Foundation is. For anybody who just tuned in, we're speaking to my niece, Emma Quisenberry. She lives in Kampala, Uganda, with her family. She's the founder of the GEM Foundation, Caring for Special Needs Children. But describe it real quick, if you don't mind, because somebody obviously asks you from time to time, what is it?
The GEM Foundation is a home for abandoned children with special needs here in Uganda. We care for a variety of different special needs, but our kids come from abandonment and loss. And in Uganda, children with special needs are considered a curse. They're considered unwanted, unloved, and because of that, they're often abandoned because of their special needs. And so the GEM Foundation is a home. We're a safe place for them to grow and to thrive and to love them.
And there's almost 50 GEMs today, almost 50 children, young people that you're caring for. And we're going to tell that story in a minute. Plus, God had plans for your own life in this process, and we're going to find out what they are when MBL returns. Emma Quisenberry, our guest, putting the spotlight on what Jesus is doing in and through his church. And we'll continue the conversation, but I really want to encourage you, if you can, even as you're listening to this, go to thegemfoundation.com, G-E-M, like gemstone, thegemfoundation.com. And watch the video that comes up on your computer screen. It will give you an amazing picture and view of GEM Village and what God is doing in Uganda. We'll be back with Emma Quisenberry here as NBL returns on WDCX. I hope you'll stick around. We'll be back right after this. Thanks again for being with us on this Worship Wednesday edition of NBL. We're speaking with Emma Quisenberry. She's the founder of the GEM Foundation in Kampala, Uganda. They care for special needs orphans, abandoned children. They take them in and love on them. And it's an amazing story. This little girl was praying by the side of her bed as a child. Lord, I want to go to Africa. Here I am, send me. And God opened that door. So it's clear you face some resistance. And isn't that the way it is in the body of Christ? Every once in a while, we get some naysayers. But you were hearing from God, and you said yes. And God began to supply for all of those needs so that you could get there as a 19-year-old single woman and begin the process of caring for these children. I got to believe, Emma, that a lot has changed, and we'll get into the details of, you know, from day one when you arrived to the building of GEM Village. It's been quite a process, but you mentioned going over there as a single person and people told you you'd never get married, ever. I mean, if you go there, you're never going to get married. And God loves when people say that because he wants to prove them wrong, right?
So, yes.
All right, well, tell us, because it's an amazing story.
Okay. After I moved to Uganda, I began the process of registering as an NGO and a children's home to be able to open what is today the GEM Foundation. We have some amazing Ugandan board members who worked alongside me in that process. But in that season, I was single and I was dating Jesus. I guess. And God just really worked in my heart and my life. And after the GEM Foundation opened in, when the GEM Foundation opened in 2014, back when I first moved here, I had recently had a breakup with my high school sweetheart. And God brought him. We randomly ran into each other in Uganda in a parking lot in the middle of the city of millions of people, and who would be there but my ex-boyfriend. And we just began to be friends in that season. And in 2014, he surprised me by coming to visit, and God began working in our hearts. And in 2015, we were married here in Uganda, surrounded by all of our GEMs and our parents. And it was amazing to see God's redemption in that relationship, but also to see God's faithfulness. And when I had said yes to Jesus and to coming to Uganda, he was working behind the scenes on my behalf.
So wait a minute. So I got to make sure I get this straight. Your husband, Josh, uh-huh. If he was going to say yes to you, he was going to have to say yes to Uganda because you were called to Uganda, right? I mean, that
yes.
It puts an interesting twist in the equation.
It was definitely a deal breaker.
Right, because because you weren't going to back down from what you felt God had shown you to do. And God changed his heart. I mean, it's not like he's a bad guy. Just think of the circumstances. Any one of us, like if you say, well, you know, you can have this, but, you know, mm-hmm. it comes with a contingency. So God was working on his heart. I don't know if that was a pleasant situation for him, but he ended up with a real prize, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah, God definitely, Josh had always had a longing to work in Africa. And at the time, he thought he would be flying as a missionary pilot in Africa. And he did finish, go on to finish at college, his pilot's license. And when he wanted to pursue a relationship with me, obviously it was through much prayer. Because yes, Uganda was on the map, and if he was going to pursue a relationship with me, it had to be in Uganda because the GEM Foundation was opening and was open at that time, actually. And my life was here in Uganda. And so it was a big commitment for him, for sure. But he loves Africa. And honestly, we make an amazing team. He is my biggest help and cheerleader. And him and I together run the GEM Foundation today. And it's amazing to have a best friend and a partner in life that you can serve the kids together. And he handles a lot of the financial aspects of the GEM Foundation here. And I handle the aspects of children and staff and different things. But it's amazing to have your best friend work with you.
I could imagine. Wow. Well, you can't really imagine, but I'm trying to imagine. I think you'll know what I'm saying by that.
I know.
It's such a fabulous story. About how God brought Josh back into your life and had already prepared his heart and then opened the door in his perfect time. So you got married. You've got a family. Tell us about mm-hmm. that.
We have four kids. Our oldest son is adopted, and our middle two, we've also been doing foster care in Uganda. And then we have our biological son. So altogether we have four kids who are adopted, and our biological son as well, who's the baby. And and then together with the GEM, we have 47 kids that we have the joy of caring for as well.
It's funny how you say that, because, you know, knowing that your mom at 14, three biological, 11 adopted, and I guess you beat her by a few. Not that it was a contest for sure, but it's up
to... It wasn't a contest, but it was fun to win.
Okay. That's how you are. You've got a little bit of boron blood in you, you know. I know exactly what you're talking about because I grew up with your mother. So, wow, that's amazing. By the way, tell us about the first child, because did you choose to adopt, or, you know, were you praying for a biological child? It's just interesting you started with an adopted child.
For us, we actually, before I was married, when I first moved to Uganda, I had began the process of foster care, of what it would look like to foster in Uganda if there was a need, if there was a child who needed a home. And so when I first moved here, it was a few months later where God brought the opportunity to foster, who is now our oldest son. And in Uganda, you foster to adopt. And so when we actually got married, Josh became a husband and he also became a dad. And so we always say that he got a two-for-one deal. But our oldest son, Teddy is an amazing 8-year-old, and he has the biggest heart for our GEMs that we care for. He's grown up around them since he was around 2 when GEM opened, and he can wheel wheelchairs faster than you've ever seen someone wheel wheelchairs. And he loves the kids as his friends and his brothers and sisters. He doesn't see them with their special needs as being different, but just sees them as his friends. And it's amazing to see the impact it makes when you grow up around special needs. And for him, it's not, when he sees a child without a leg or without a limb, to him, it's nothing different. It's just another kid that he's playing with, another, you know, part of our family. Yeah. And so I think that's been a huge thing to see that impact. And then we actually fell in love with two of our little ones at GEM, where we began the process of fostering to adopt. And we just felt like adoption was really in our heart first before biological children, just because that's what we felt that God wanted for us. And I'm not saying it's wrong to want to have a biological child first. It kind of depends on what is your heart's desire and what God has really laid on your heart. But for us, adoption is growing up with adopted siblings and being a part of foster care and different things that my family had done. We really always had a heart for adoption.
And you wanted to be a biological mom as well?
Yes, I'd always wanted to experience that if God gave us that opportunity. So we were really excited for our youngest as well.
That's awesome. Well, God has truly blessed you in so many ways. And to say that you have 47 kids now is awesome. But, you know, people need to realize this isn't just like you're deciding to help out a few kids that could use a helping hand. If I'm not mistaken, Emma, and you can speak from your heart on this, children in Uganda who are disabled are usually abandoned. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is correct.
So if these kids weren't at the GEM Foundation, where would they be?
Sometimes the kids are not found soon enough. Each one of our children comes with a very unique and different story when they come into our home. And some of our kids' stories have been where a child was abandoned in a forest with a bag around their neck. And for us, we would look at that abandonment case and we would say, whoever abandoned this child did not want this child to live. Then there's cases of a child maybe being abandoned near a hospital and they needed a brain surgery. For that case, we would say that whoever abandoned that child wanted that child to live, but they probably couldn't afford the surgery. So we look at it in both perspectives of where a child was left and what the circumstances would have maybe led that child there. We do a lot of tracing around by doing like adverts in the newspapers and on the radios and in the local language and even on TV. And we are sometimes successful in finding their relatives. And sometimes we're not successful. If we were able to locate the relative, we would have a very long process of finding out what led that to that abandonment. Mm-hmm. And then we look and see if there's any other distant family member who might be willing to take on caring for that child. And it wouldn't be a quick process. It honestly usually would be about a year of counseling and bonding and training before that child could be reunited with their biological relative. We cannot reunite a child with the relative who abandoned them, but we're able to look at it and see if there's another angle that could work for that child. We recently, this last week, I was able to go and follow up with our social workers on two cases of children who we've been able to reunite with their families, and they're doing amazing, and they're loved for who they are and celebrated in their homes, and they're one of our success stories of seeing it full circle, where how they entered into GEM in a way of such loss and heartache, and today where they are is completely different. It's a complete transformation.
You know, I hadn't thought about that much, but I'm glad you brought that up, because the GEM Foundation then in that sense isn't a destination per se. It's not mm-hmm. where you hope for these kids to be forever, right? I mean, mm-hmm. and then at some point, I don't know exactly how the law works in Uganda, but I was made aware of the fact that at some point they could actually time out of the system, so to speak, mm-hmm. And need to live independently. Is that correct? How does that work?
Yeah, very similar to how it works in the U.S. when a child is in foster care. They age out at 18, and here in Uganda, it's very similar. When a child reaches 18, they age out of being in a children's home. And for us, we know that a lot of our children with severe special needs and even more mild special needs, if they have no known relative, and our kids are around 16 years old now, some of our older ones, and we have to look at, like, what is their future? What happens when they turn 18? We can't wait till they reach 18. We have to be planning now. And so we had the vision to start an assisted living home for our kids when they reach 18, where they'll be able to transition out of the children's home into the assisted living home and to be empowered and taught a vocational skill and to be able to gain those skills to be independent, where then they could possibly be reemployed as a staff member, or maybe they'll graduate with a certificate. And some of our kids one of our little girls is 16 and she wants to be a social worker. And for us, we would love to see her be a social worker. And so she would age out of the children's home into the assisted living and then continue her education from there. Yeah.
Wow. That would be phenomenal. There's so much more to talk about. Gem Village now exists, and there's multiple buildings on one campus. You recently moved in officially to some of your new facilities, and I want you to talk about that. But this assisted living facility is kind of hanging out there as an additional need, and so I want to focus on that if we can. We'll be back in just a moment. Emma Quisenberry, our guest, she and her husband, Josh, are head of the Gem Foundation, which is an organization, a ministry that cares for orphaned and abandoned children in Uganda. She prayed about this since she was a little girl, and God opened this door. She moved to Uganda at the age of 19, single. Later, God reunited her with a former boyfriend, Josh, who had also had stirring in his heart for Africa. And today, they're heading up the Gem Foundation. You can learn more about it by going to thegemfoundation.com. And we'll be back with more of our Spotlight conversation here on NBL. Well, thanks again for joining us. We're talking about Jesus today and what Jesus has been doing in and through his church. The focus of the conversation here on what God is doing in the hearts and lives of children in Uganda who are special needs children. They have disabilities and in most cases would be abandoned. But the Gem Foundation is meeting those needs. And my own niece, Emma Lee Joy Saunders, who today is known primarily as Emma Quisenberry. Do you go by Emma Lee or Emma?
It's kind of a funny story. In Uganda, Emma is a boy's name. A lot of people are Emmanuel and they go by Emma.
Oh.
And so I've hosted a lot of meetings and had like government officials and different people come to meet me. And all they know is they're meeting Emma. And so when they come, they're like, oh, you're not a man. And so I kind of transitioned, at least here, a lot of like business side people would call me Emily. But if they actually know me, then it's just Emma.
Okay. All right. Because, I mean, yeah. My mom, your grandma, who went home to be with Jesus earlier this year, just absolutely loved you to pieces. And I know she's looking forward to seeing you again one day and was so thrilled by what God had done in and through your life. But, you know, she called you Emma. I just refer to you normally as M. How's M doing? So, anyway, you got a lot of names.
I do.
Including Child of God, and that's a good thing. All right, so the Gem Village, because when you got over there at the age of 19, there was nothing. And today you have dogs and and 47 children.
So sorry.
It's fine. Stuff happens. It'll be fine. But describe briefly, if you don't mind, just the process of establishing Gem Village, because, you know, you've got a new campus. God has really done some amazing things.
The Gem Village is, it's a village where we have wheelchair accessible sidewalks, and we have three homes where each home is caring for 16 children at the moment. And it's a family style setting where we have a family, like a living room and a dining room together. And each home is accessible. Before, we had been renting in the city, and God had was able to provide through generous donors, and we were able to construct what is today the Gem Village, where our kids have no limitations. They can wheel into the bathroom, and the bathroom is accessible, and they can actually go into the kitchen, where everything is low counters, and they can reach things, where they can go into their bedrooms, and they have their own bed, where it's easy for them to get in and out of. It's amazing. We love Gem Village so much.
There's quite a few pictures of Gem Village on the website, which is really, I really want to drive you to the website. If you can go to thegemfoundation.com, thegemfoundation.com. Start with the word the, right? Thegemfoundation.com. There's a video there, of course, and then there's all kinds of information. But you can actually see the Gem Foundation in action. By the way, I love the picture of all the wheelchairs coming down the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like an army of wheelchairs coming. The village is being developed, and I know you've moved into some new facilities recently.
Mm-hmm.
There. You still have a need for the assisted living home, but give us an idea. Is there a hospital nearby or on grounds? Like, what happens when there's medical needs?
We are actually in the process of finishing the construction for the clinic and medical center that is right there on the site, where it will allow emergency medical care to be accessible. We'll also be able to do blood work for things like malaria and other infections as well, with the laboratory that's there. And we also are having a therapy center, and the therapy center will be able to allow our kids to have more access to physical therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy. Right now, we've just been doing the therapy in the homes, but now having the actual therapy center will allow the kids to have more individualized care, and we're super excited for that. It's in the final phases of construction. Our goal is to be finished in January, and then we'd be able to start using the medical center and the therapy building.
That's incredible. There's no way that when you first got there at the age of 19, you could have imagined all this happening in such a short time, or even really maybe even understood the total picture, right? Because just for the need for ongoing physical therapy, was that, I don't think that would have been at top of your mind when you were just thinking about caring for the first orphan that God brought you to. I mean, so it's a developing thing. Do you ever feel overwhelmed? Like, God, this is getting so big. How do we do this?
God has been so faithful throughout the whole moving here, and even before moving here. I know the one consistent thing is I've never been alone. Like, God has been so faithful with me every step of the way. And I'm not saying sometimes it's not overwhelming. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But just seeing God's faithfulness, like, we were praying for the land for so long, and God answered that prayer by bringing the most beautiful piece of land with views of the mountains and the hills in the distance and clean air. And even the provision to build what is today the Gem Village. God has been so faithful every step of the way. And even when it looks overwhelming financially, like, how are we going to do this every month? Because obviously caring for the kids every month is a huge financial burden with having 47 kids with special needs. We have lots of different medications and things that are really tough and hard, but God is faithful every step of the way. And I should say, it's not Josh and I alone. We may be the directors and of the Gem Foundation, but we have an incredible team that works alongside us of over 60 Ugandan staff who are employed and work full-time with the Gem Foundation.
60 Ugandan staff?
Yes.
Wow. I'm getting choked up just thinking about this. Emma, I want you to just speak from your heart about the needs right now. You said you're finishing up the medical clinic. You need an assisted living building for some of the young people that are going to eventually time out and need to, because of the government rules and regulations there, need to live on their own. I know that you need prayer. You need finances to keep going. How can we help? And I want those of you that are listening to really open your heart and your mind to hear what God might be speaking to your heart as Emma shares about some of the needs. But how can we help, Emma?
We have many needs every month, but I think the biggest need right now is definitely towards the assisted living home. It's a need as our kids are 16 and 17 this year, and knowing that we're getting there. The time is ticking every day before our kids are going to reach 18 and need to leave our home, and we want to make sure that it's in a safe environment that they leave. And so that is a huge need towards our assisted living home. Another need we have is every month, monthly support is an incredible need we have. You know, the day-to-day needs of caring for a child can be costly and hard, but monthly sponsorship begins at just $35 a month, where you can sponsor one of our kids and you can get quarterly updates on them and really be a part of their life. And that's a huge need we have. And then in prayer, you can be praying for our kids by name. If you go onto our website, you can go under to sponsor a child, and it has the names of our children, and you can see their photos and pray for them if you feel led to pray for them. And you can also just be praying for our staff, pray for strength for them and encouragement for them. Caring for a child day-to-day with special needs can be tiring. It can be overwhelming. So if you pray for just continued strength and health for them, and health for our children, and just continued provision, God has been faithful, and we have no doubt He'll continue to be faithful.
Amen. I have no doubt either. Do you have a little girl there named Mercy, or is that just a word hanging on a bed?
No, we have Mercy. Mercy is 6, and she was born with Amelia Tetra syndrome, which means she was born without limbs, and she is definitely a bright light and a joy. She loves to meet new friends, and she's the most independent little girl probably you've ever met. it doesn't faze her that she doesn't have limbs, but she can race the fastest and she can feed herself. And she's incredible.
Well, she captured my heart. I didn't know if her name was Mercy or if that was just the word Mercy hanging on her bed. But to see her crawl into her bunk, and what a doll, what a sweetheart. I just want to encourage those of you who are listening to pray about what God might be saying to your heart, because the needs are real. And they're right in front of us. And as God might lead you, I want to encourage you to pray about meeting the needs of the GEM Foundation, to get personally involved in what God is doing. What's the total cost in U.S. dollars going to be, by the way, for the assisted living facility that would be connected to your work there?
The total cost, our goal is to build 2 assisted living homes right now, since our need is for is quickly going into the needing 2 homes. Mm-hmm. But it's around $350,000.
Okay. Well, that's big, but we serve a God who's bigger than that. And Lord, you brought Emma all the way to Uganda, Africa. This little girl, you placed in her heart a desire to care for orphans in Africa. You prepared a young man to one day be her husband, who was also stirred to be in Africa. And I thank you, God, for the love that Emma and Josh share. I thank you for their family, and for the 60 staff members at the GEM Foundation, and for the 47 young people who live there with special needs, God, who would otherwise be abandoned and be orphans. You are clearly at work. Thank you for the GEM Village, which was recently built, and some of the new facilities that are available, the resources that are available for these children to begin to thrive and to learn and be educated and to grow into productive citizens. Lord, we know that your heart is for orphans. We were orphans until you adopted us into your family. We love you. We praise you and thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to participate in the work that you're doing around the world. May Emma and Josh and the entire staff there be encouraged to know that you're in control and that you're speaking through your church today. And I pray for those that are listening to be responsive. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so pray for the GEM Foundation. Get personally involved. If you want to sponsor a child or something, encourage you to think about doing that. But here's an opportunity for you to get on board. Emma, anything else you want to leave with us? Remember, it's thegemfoundation.com where you can learn all about this. But any final word from you?
Just thank you so much for having me today. It was so fun to share about our home and our ministry. And I would just encourage you to, in this month of November, as we look back on orphan care, pray about how you can get involved and care for the orphan. God calls us all to do something. And it doesn't mean everyone needs to move to Africa or to adopt a child, but maybe you know someone in your someone who's adopting who you can support and encourage them. Maybe you know someone who is doing something and you can be a part. Everyone can do something. So I just encourage you to pray about it and see where God's leading you.
Amen. And one last thing, thank you for loving my mom so well. She loved you to pieces, and you loved your grandma very well. And she had a difficult life in many ways, but she was blessed to have you as a grandchild, and thank you for taking care of her so well.
I love my grandma so much, and your mom. Yeah. I miss her, and I miss her long phone calls. Every time I'd call her, she'd be like, "You mean you're calling me from Africa?" I'd be like, "Grandma, I just had to say hi and check on you," and I miss her.
And an hour and a half later,
yes,
I know what that was like. All right, Emma, God bless you. Say hi to Josh, and I look forward one day to seeing you again. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That's Emma Quisenberry, thegemfoundation.com.